Hello and welcome to another episode of Father Mike at the Mic. I'm Tony Miller with KCDM and I'll be your host for the show. I'm joined as usual by Father Mike Phillips.
Hello everybody.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. Spring is here, so I like this kind of year.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like spring because of the allergies.
Well, I have plenty of those too, but...
Is it as bad as Lent for you?
Oh no, nothing is as bad as Lent.
Well, Father Mike, you have been a Catholic priest in the Diocese of Davenport for almost 55 years.
The 31st of this month, it'll be 55 years.
55
Can
years.
Can you believe
so
that?
So we're just a couple weeks away from 55 years.
Right. Half of that time, well, a third of that time was spent in parish work, and the other two-thirds was spent in school work, so...
Well, I think that qualifies you to have your own radio show, don't you?
Yeah, you help a lot.
Our show invites parishioners from Divine Mercy Parish to join us to talk about their faith and get any questions answered that they might have for Father Mike. We have a full house tonight compared to last week, last show.
We have a powerhouse tonight.
We do.
You're great.
We are joined tonight by Jack and Joan Whale.
Hello.
The first time on the show. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming. And we're joined again by Mandy Brent.
Good to be here
glad
again.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we also have a special guest tonight, Anna Marino.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
You're back in town from your mission?
Yes, yep.
So,
Damascus in Ohio.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to kind of break with tradition here, and we're going to start off with the prayer before we do anything else.
That would be fine. I'm kind of humbled here because on the other side of the table we have all the music of the parish. without the other side of the table, we would be saying low masses of the old tradition where everybody was speaking, not singing.
That goes well with our theme of charisms tonight.
That's right. There's a lot of charisms in this room right now, so I won't spoil it. So I'll just say a little prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, give us the gift, as we talk about gifts tonight, of your Holy Spirit. Help us to appreciate these gifts. Give us the grace to understand your deep love for us as we enter into a new season liturgically, as we appreciate the wonders of spring, and we realize how much you love us. We ask all of this through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the intercession of His Blessed Mother, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Mike.
You're welcome.
Now we are off to a good start. We've got our prayer done. I'm going to come back to you, Anna, and start with you, if that's okay.
Yes, that's awesome.
We'll go youngest to oldest.
Oh, boy. Jack, watch out.
And since I don't know how old Jack and Joan are, we'll have to just kind of flip for when they go. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your Catholic faith and your Catholic journey.
Yes. My name is Anna Marino, as you mentioned, and I grew up in Burlington, went to Notre Dame Catholic schools. I grew up very faithful family, and I think my parents would be the first to admit that there are just so many things that we actually didn't know about our Catholic faith. And so that took me on a journey where in college and as I started working as a dental hygienist after college, I was just really seeking. I was seeking the Lord, but I wasn't seeking Him in the Catholic Church. And so I went through a period of going to non-denominational churches and thinking that I actually wanted to be baptized in the non-denominational church, even though I was baptized as a baby, but didn't understand actually what happened at my baptism as a baby, and that I didn't need to be baptized again. And so I actually met with Father Marty during this decision, and after talking with him, I knew I couldn't go through with that, and then he led me to going to the Christ Our Life conference in Des Moines, Iowa, and it was at that conference that I encountered Jesus in the Eucharist, which at that point I hadn't received him in a year, maybe 2 years. And just my life radically changed at that point. I ended up finding out about Damascus. I then quit my job and became a full-time missionary in Ohio. And I've been there. I've just finished up my first year in the two-year program that we have. So we've been learning formation, and we've been serving, just this year, we served around 38,000 middle school and high schoolers and some young adults and adults. And then heading into summer, where we have summer camp, and Damascus Catholic Mission Campus is actually known for CYSC, or Catholic Youth Summer Camp. So we'll serve roughly 7,000 kids this summer.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Lord has taken me on a wild journey within the last year, to say the least. Yeah.
You're kind of like me. You're kind of a fallen away Catholic who came back home.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it sounds like you've really taken it and run with it.
Yeah, I think the Lord's just kind of pulled me, you know, just taken my hand and has really shown me what it looks like to live with Him and live the adventure with Him. Yeah.
Well, your parents must be doing something right, because your sisters are active in the church too.
Yes, they are. They're running the youth group for middle school and high school at the school and parish. And yeah, it's actually been beautiful seeing the way that my family has come together. And because during that time, there was actually a lot that came up within our family that we had not dealt with before. And so we are on the other side actually seeing the fruit of actually all of my mom's prayers. Thank you, Karen Marino, for all of your prayers. And just the way that my family has grown in general, in our faith.
Do you have a specific role, or you just kind of a jack of all trades and do a little of everything?
Yes, I do have a specific role. However, us missionaries are basically taught to do everything. So, this year I've been placed on both pastoral and programmatic, getting to be on stage and actually like stepping into stage ministry, and public speaking. And so that's one thing that I've gotten to do is, speak. And my full-time year role was a counseling lead. And so basically all the counselors, they usually have around a group of nine. And then if like I'm here, so that if they need something, or if maybe like just one of their kids needs something, that child can actually have the one-on-one attention that they need. So that is my role, and that is the role that I will have this summer. And this summer I'm actually sent to our Great Lakes, Michigan campus. So I'll be in Michigan this summer. I will be a counseling lead. I will be giving a talk for a women's session. So I'll get to talk to young women about their identity as a daughter of God. And I'll also be a pastoral leader, so I'll get to walk with some of the women who are serving at Damascus.
And what age of kids are you dealing with then?
Our focus is middle school and high school.
Middle school and high school.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so 6th through 12th will come this summer.
Oh, very good.
During the school year, you have other things happening though too.
Yeah, so our main focus is still 6th through 12th, but then we also host adult retreats, we host men's and women's retreats, and then we host a worship conference, which is a variety of ages that anyone can come to learn more about worship and what that looks like, and especially worship leaders. And then we have a young adult conference, so it's specifically for ages 18 through 29, so that age range can just come together and actually see, wow, there are people my age who are on fire for the faith, and to build that community, even if it's from all over. So it's cool to see the countries that have come to us. We've had France, Slovakia, Spain. We've had missionaries from Spain. And just we've served like 45 of the states.
Wow.
So it's been really beautiful to just see the way that the Lord has taken the mission and expanded it.
Very good. Well, other than prayer, how can we help you?
That is a great question. I am, as a missionary, we mission support raise. And so what this means and looks like is actually inviting people into the mission with us. Because not everyone, especially depending on if you have a family, can leave your family and go and serve in Ohio for 2 years. And so that's just a way for us to invite others into the mission and to actually build like a support system around each missionary. And so I am asking for help with donations but actually a partnership to invite you into the mission with me. See if you're interested in that. And also just to continue to pray for me, because I know that prayer is so powerful, and all the missionaries, all the kids that we serve, and just everyone who is giving their lives to this mission.
Very good.
And any money that you would raise would be for you specifically,
yes,
as opposed to for Damascus.
Right.
To live on.
Yes. Yep. To live on. Because as missionaries, we don't get paid. And it's all the money that goes to Damascus goes right back to the kids and to the advancement of the mission of Damascus. So the reason for us is actually to have a taste of what it looked like as the apostles, the disciples, the saints, of living off of the generosity of others and just relying on the Lord.
Well, and you being willing to go out and do the disciples' mission, we need to help.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, can't get up and do public speaking and leading and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's like they say about home improvement. Sometimes writing a check is all you need to be able to do. how would somebody contribute or how would somebody help you?
Yeah. So, I would love to talk to you one-on-one if you are interested. We have a giving link. We use DonorElf, which is like a missionary software. So basically, I would just like establish a meeting. I would just establish a meeting with you, and then we would come up with a monthly amount.
Okay.
Yeah, that would.
So maybe what I'll do is when we get done, I'll get an email address or something for you that and put that on our website so that people could contact you.
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, very good. Father Mike, we need to go back at the end of the last show, or during the last show, we were talking about prayer,
mm-hmm,
and we talked about Acts,
mm-hmm,
and we failed miserably coming up with what the S stood for. I think our age was showing a little bit for the two of us, but the Acts.
I'm amazed at how you always say "our" when we're about to dive into the deep.
You're a little older than I am, but I'm no spring chicken anymore.
Boy,
either,
that's
so
true. Just had to get back.
I see how it's going to be. but Acts is an acronym for adoration, contrition, thanksgiving. And the S is supplication, and that's the one we couldn't come up with.
We couldn't, both of us together, we could not.
So what is the definition of supplication? I think everybody knows what the other ones are.
Mm-hmm. I think asking God for his help according to our need and according to his will. I think that would be probably a pretty good definition.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, correct me now, you know. I had the nuns for years and years, and they didn't hesitate to correct me. So I'm not used to being right all the time.
No, I'm more used to being on the heresy end of the heresy buzzer end rather than correcting people. So,
and of course, you're married, so you have a self-corrective right there.
Yes, I do. The two words that make for a happy marriage. Yes, dear. And then John Champagne also wanted me to mention the upcoming study series. Everyone is invited to participate in this opportunity to grow with others in our understanding of and love for the Eucharist. And it's going to be held on Monday nights. And it starts on June 3rd at 6:30 p.m. And it's going to be held at the parish hall at St. Paul's Church in the basement there. So if you're interested in coming together and learning more about the Eucharist and learning to better love the Eucharist, this is a perfect opportunity for you. So now that I've gone and caught up with the stuff that I forgot, I was so excited to start talking to Anna about her experience. Jack and Joan, did we decide who's going to go next?
Well, I'm the younger.
Okay.
Hi. So I guess short and sweet, my story, of the faith is I was, born in a Catholic family, pretty much ditched it by sixth grade and started doing drugs by 12. And I was very addicted for a long time. And then at 18, I started to kind of want to get out of the drug scene, and I went back to church, met Father Bob Miller in Davenport, that's where I'm from, and he encouraged me to go out to an eighth grade retreat, and for confirmation, and I was supposed to be a sponsor. And I went on that weekend, and I experienced the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And then I started going to a prayer meeting, and my life just changed. I remember telling Bob, Father Bob, after I was there, I was learning about going to catechism class with him because I didn't know nothing. And I was really scared. I said, I'm beginning to lose my mind. And I thought, you know, I was scared before with the drugs and stuff. And now I thought, I've come so far and now I'm losing it. And he's like, no, Joan. And I go, I'm thinking about God all the time. And it scared me to death.
The pendulum had swung it way back way. Too far.
Yes. And he said, no, that's the Holy Spirit. And it was. Since then, I was 18, almost 19 at that point. And it's been a ride like never before, like Anna. I always say it's a better high than I ever had, walking with the Lord. You never know where he's going to lead you, and his love is just immense, and I am so grateful to have him come into my life, and I want to share that with others. That's my story.
There you go. Thank you.
For me, it was a little, you know, somewhat similar. Grew up in a Catholic family, and, you know, we prayed the rosary together. By the time I got into late high school, my dad was suffering from PTSD from World War II, and so he wasn't there, and I kind of got associated with some guys that were drinking and drugging, and got involved in that whole thing. I'm from Chicagoland area, and when I finished college, I moved to Rock Island for a job, and I just thought that I needed to be different. Because this isn't the way I was raised. It wasn't prayer. It was just a thought. Virtually everyone that I met in the Quad Cities led me on a circuitous path back and forth and back and forth till I finally came into involvement with the Catholic Church again. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a full gospel businessman's meeting that I had been going to, and the transformation in my life was unbelievable. I recall one incident where someone was praying with me that had just met me, and as I was introduced tonight as Jack, she said to me, John, my son, I've waited for you for a long time, and my legal name is John, but nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had met her. So I know that was the Lord speaking directly to me. So fast forward a little bit through the full gospel businessman's meeting, I met Brother Bob Reinecke, who started Young House and also Beacon House, and he invited me down to Burlington to pray about, you know, if I was going to be involved either in Young House or in at Beacon House. And I discerned that I should come down and become part of Beacon House. Beacon House was an interfaith house of prayer that he established, and Sister Mary Frances was the one who kind of ran the situation. And that was how I got to Burlington. And I started doing music at church back in Davenport. But then I transferred that and started doing music at St. John's. Mm-hmm. Now it's been almost 45 years ago.
Wow.
And still doing that. But one thing that really has changed in the last 3 years, you know, I've been here praying for Burlington and for St. John's Divine Mercy Parish for, you know, pretty much that whole time. The whole 45 years that's been on my heart, but there's more. There's always more that God wants to do with us. And Joan and I, she felt called for us to go to a conference. It was not a Catholic conference, but we met about 25 Catholics at this conference, and I experienced a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, again, 2.5 years ago. And he, you know, renewed his, my understanding of his great, immense love for me and for all of us. And since that experience 2.5 years ago, Joan and I have been involved in Encounter Ministries, which is the Encounter School of Ministry. It's a Catholic school that is online and on campuses that started out 2016 and now have over 20 campuses. There's more than 5,000 people that went to the last conference. There are people globally that are involved in this. And it's all basically coming to know God's love for us, to know what he wants, you know, from us, how he wants to move in our lives, to learn about prophetic prayers, and also prayers for healing. It's just been a marvelous experience. We just graduated yesterday.
After two years.
Now, what's going to happen? I don't know. God hasn't said yet. Yeah. We're just in the process of discerning that.
Who knows? All right. Mandy, you're
up. I told
you
I can't do it in 3 minutes. So. And I have to tell, I'll have to tell my story another time because I need my husband here too, because it's quite an amazing story. And if you're talking about divine providence next time, right here. All of our lives have connected because of that.
Right. Yeah, because I'm a retrovert too. I was born Catholic. After I graduated high school and went to college, I quit church and then got married. And then we didn't really go back to church until my son was born. So then we came back to church and he was baptized and we did church for a while. And then the whole priest scandal thing broke. And then I left the church again and was gone for 6-7 years maybe. And that was right while my kids were in high school and middle school, mm-hmm. right? The age of people that you're working with, Anna. Mm-hmm. When I was down taking care of my parents, I told my dad that I wasn't going to church and he about fell out of the car and made me promise that I would fix that. And that's what's led to Father Mike at the mic. So it's been a wild ride. I could do a whole show just on me, but
exactly.
We could all do a whole show and just on us.
Yes.
My crutch of choice when I was younger was alcohol, not drugs, which is probably about as bad, maybe worse than drugs. But anyway, enough about me. And we are going to hold Mandy. We are going to hold you to it. We're going to get your story. Yeah. The third time will be a charm.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it very much.
All right. Well, let's move on to our topic tonight. Mandy, you were actually the one who suggested this topic. And we're going to talk about gifts and charisms and how we should use our gifts and charisms for the church, where they come from, how we identify them, and all that kind of stuff. Let's start out by going over what are the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit and how are they similar or different to a charism? What's the difference between a gift and a charism? And there are fruits of the Holy Spirit too. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk a little bit about the difference between a gift, a fruit, and a charism.
Want me to read them for you so that we know what's going on?
Absolutely.
I won't comment on each one because we're not going to be here until midnight.
Yes.
But anyway, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the classic gifts of the Holy Spirit that we find in the scriptures. And then the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there are a few more of those. Kind of think in terms of what you think of when you first hear the word. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity.
And when you were in school, you probably had to learn those.
We had to memorize those, and I have to be, You know, honest with our listeners, I am reading those things. I know they think that I've got them all in the back of my head, but I'm reading those.
So then, how does a gift differ from a charism? What is a charism? What's the definition of a charism?
The definition, the Greek word, comes from the word charis, which is actually a form of grace, but charisma in Greek, meaning a gift freely bestowed. So it's something that's freely bestowed on us. And I think the gifts and fruits from the Holy Spirit are given to us at baptism, mm-hmm. right? So we're right. all given those.
Okay.
But a charism is something unique to that person, each person. We're not all given the same. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like the discussion where in the Bible where they talk about, the ear is nothing without the eye and without a foot.
Sure, sure.
And all the different parts of the body, mm-hmm. which we are, we're part of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and we're all given different charisms, different gifts mm-hmm. that we should use
exactly.
for the church.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, all of them, in fact, we're so used to them because as I read those, it struck me so many of those things are qualities that so many people have, right. you know, mm-hmm. like generosity or patience or mm-hmm. kindness or gentleness or self-control. They're all natural yes. things in one sense or another.
Right.
But they're supernatural in another sense, too, because their basis is what the Lord wants us to have. And not just in a natural way, but in a, you know, some people are naturally, they're naturally in self-control all the time. They never lose their temper, you know. I haven't met too many of those people, but I do know they exist. Some people are naturally modest. Another one, I don't know why I'm picking some of these out like that.
And again, natural versus supernatural.
Supernatural.
And charisms tend to be supernatural.
Supernatural. They're above what
they're
we
above
normally
above a
have.
Human, what we can do by ourselves
That's
as
right.
humans.
That's
oh,
right.
okay.
Okay.
So like from 1 Corinthians 12, you know, there's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, mm-hmm. discerning of spirits, mm-hmm. different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues.
Right.
And each one of those, we're given the Holy Spirit, which is the primary gift,
right.
and
right.
all of those are operative within any of our lives as we are willing to open ourselves up to the Spirit working within us. When we're baptized, when we're confirmed, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us all of these things available to us as we step out in working with Him. And Joan and I, you know, have experienced this over our lifetime, but in the last year and a half, it's even been exponentially changed for us.
It talks about, too, that, you know, you have to stir up the gifts within you. And as you walk and you pray, the gifts become more aware to you. You sense God moving in this direction or that direction in your life. The Spirit teaches you.
Right.
So these gifts come as you grow in your faith. You're not going to know them if you're not praying, if right. you're not listening and quiet and hearing God. You're not going to be able to discern it.
Mm-hmm.
But they are there. It's up to us whether we want to mm-hmm. spend the time to embrace God and let Him do a mighty work within our hearts and minds.
Right.
An analogy that, you know, I've used before is like you take a glass of milk and you mm-hmm. pour some Hershey syrup into it, you know, and the Hershey syrup settles at the bottom, so it doesn't look like it's chocolate milk until somebody comes along and stirs it up. You know, so as we stir up the Holy, you know, stir up our involvement with the Holy Spirit, our willingness to walk with Him, stir it up in Eucharistic adoration and confession and, you know, all of these other ways in our prayer time and actually stepping out, then it does become chocolatey, you know, mm-hmm. and you, people realize that those gifts are there for us. Those charisms are there for us.
And it's not for us personally. It's for the church.
It's for the building of the church. That's always
that's the difference, too, right?
Yeah, you're not focusing on yourself. You're focusing on...
And, you know, Anna is a good example, you know, in terms of what has been happening with you and the young people that you're ministering to in terms of seeing different aspects of the Holy Spirit, you know, these fruits and gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I had my Bible open to the exact 1 Corinthians 12 and just going under the heading of one body with many members, starting with verse 22, that it just says the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and that each and every person, I mean, each and every missionary, like seeing that this year, that each person carries something so unique and so specific that actually then when we have all these children come to us, that it's like, okay, I can know that that is not, like the Lord has given me my own specific gifts. I can turn you towards my brother or my sister who I know has a stronger gift than that. And knowing that neither of our gifts are better or worse, but like actually we are all working together to be strong. And just in ending with verse 25, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We're always bringing glory to the Father and just being aware of, okay, Lord, like what have you given me? What have you given me to steward? And stewardship is such an important word in that we can have that gift, but if we're actually not using it, and it's not ours, like it's not our possession, that the Lord gave it to us and he can also take it away. Mm-hmm. So how are we stewarding it? And also one question that I've been asked is like, okay, why am I seeking this gift? And if it is of any selfish reason or if it's of any pride or to show, because it is amazing to have a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing and to have these gifts. But if it's not for him and if it's not for the good of the church, then it's just in vain.
That's right.
Yeah. And even if, like Paul says in another part, it says, even though I speak in tongues, and I prophesy and I heal people and I raise the dead, if I'm not doing it in love, if I'm not doing it for the good of the body, then it's worthless. I'm a noisy gong. It's not what God wants. He says in another place, seek the highest of gifts, and the greatest of gifts is love. Faith, hope, and love. And the one that'll last is love.
Right.
So there is a biblical basis for the concept of charisms in the Catholic tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you can find it in Isaiah, Peter, Romans. Paul writes it too. Corinthians. Paul, a lot of Paul, it's also in the Catechism. Mm-hmm. You can find it in the Catechism and
Vatican II document.
Lumen Gentium.
So, talks about charisms. So that's part of the way the Catholic Church helps us discern and recognize charisms within individuals and in the community, then through the readings, through the sacraments, through the Eucharist,
and encouraging the priests encouraging us to move into whatever. I mean, like for me, the example for me was with Brother Bob Reinecke, who encouraged me to look into coming down to Burlington, and using my gifts here. So that's what I did. I was a missionary.
Yeah, you were.
I came to Burlington with nothing. They gave me 1 month, to stay at Beacon House, and I had to support myself. So I went out and got a job, and now 45 years later.
Wow. And we're glad you're here, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I said beforehand, I've never told Jack that this personally or now publicly, but when I'm offering the Mass up there, especially at St. Mary's, because it's so nice and intimate, and I look out and I see Joan and Jack out there, I'm just filled with the confidence and the trust in the Lord. You radiate that, and you don't even realize it, I don't think. And that's another thing about the gifts, is that we are surprised when we find out that we have them. Sometimes it's a reflection. People tell us, oh, you're so kind, or you're so loving, or you're so faithful, or you're so gentle, or you're so... I was amazed, and again, I have to be careful because you don't want to be you know, patting yourself on your back or anything like that. But I was told one time that the greatest compliment I ever got, somebody once told me, they said, you know, you are so suited for your position. Most of the time people will say things about, well, I liked your homily or whatever. But to say that you were so suited to your position, and I thought to myself, what in the world are they trying to tell me, you know? And then I kind of looked back at my life, 55 years now, a priest, and I just thought, well, that's an awfully nice compliment, you know? And they were talking about gentleness. That's what they said later. Mm-hmm. They said, you're so gentle. Mm-hmm. There are times when I didn't feel very gentle. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah. Right. I feel, too, sometimes, I know for me, you know, as over the years, whatever ministry I'm in, it's usually a two-way street. Mm-hmm. I am getting just as much out of it as the person receiving. And I think that's where you can give out of love and joy and peace and all those kinds of things. And if you're in a ministry that you don't like and you don't, you know, maybe you're not where God wants you to be. And I also know that there's been times ministries that I was in for a long time, and then I lost that. Right. And so I said it's time for me to leave that particular ministry. And part of me had felt a little guilty, but no, that was the Holy Spirit, because he opened another door.
That's right. And it's freeing to know what you can say yes to and what you can say no to.
Right.
Right? Because that may not be your charism. There are people, I don't know, maybe they're greeters, but maybe they don't have the charism for hospitality. That's and they right. really shouldn't be mm-hmm. greeters then. Or mm-hmm. it's if you know your charisms and you know what you can say yes to and what you can say no to, and then give those other people that
just
chance
because
to,
there's a space, don't fill it.
Right.
You know, just because then a lot of times the person that really supposed to be there won't step up.
Right.
Because they're new or a little insecure or whatever. And so we need to allow space to be there in a ministry. If you don't feel led by God to be in it, then don't do it, because there's supposed to be somebody else there to take it up. And that's how the body
there's
grows.
There's a really good paragraph here I want to read from the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, Using Your Gifts to Build the Kingdom. Mary Healy, she's
a professor at Sacred Heart.
Yes. She writes here that Paul makes it very clear that charisms are given not only to some, but to all Christians. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Every believer has an irreplaceable role to play in the growth of the church. Amen. Everyone is given charisms that perfectly correspond to that role. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. Or at least there would not be if everyone knew how to recognize and use his or her gifts. Scripture, therefore, emphasizes that exercising our gifts is not optional. It is a sacred responsibility.
And
as each has received gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. But the problem is many Christians do not exercise charisms because they have no idea how to use them and grow in them. They may not even know what they are. And this is a great loss to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that, I am guilty of that, because I am just now finding out what my charisms are after 40 whatever years, because I just thought I had a talent, or I just thought I was good at something, or it was a skill. But now there's these wonderful ministries, like the one that I took a test to find out what my charisms were. Mm-hmm. It's called Many Parts Ministries, and you can take tests on discerning what your charisms are, and it lists and it gives you your charisms and what they are and how you can use them. And I think that's an important tool if people don't know what their charisms are.
Right? There's a part in Lumen Gentium that talks about that very thing, where, you know, in terms of calling out for others into their charisms, where hierarchy of the church and the charismatic side of the church are to work in tandem, where the bishops and the priests and those who are in authority in the church are to call out those mm-hmm. charisms that they see in people sure. and those mm-hmm. gifts that they see in people. And I'm sure that you do the same thing when you're working at Damascus, you know, that you try and bring those out so that it can build up the body, you know, it can strengthen.
Just think of how amazing our parish would be if everybody knew what their charism was right. and used it.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I mean, it would be incredible.
And, you know, the thing about it is that this last year and a half, 2.5 years has been transformative for me, is even though, you know, I've understood this and I've been walking in it to some degree for, you know, these 45 years, there's always more. Mm-hmm. God, we're talking about an infinite God,
yeah.
and we're finite beings, and He wants to continue to pour mm-hmm. into us mm-hmm. right. His infinite
absolutely
love right. and grace and mercy and gifts.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. one of the things that it's a little different, you know, but people come to the church and a lot of times they just go to church or go to Mass, and they don't participate in ministries or seek out ministries or anything. And it says that we are to be the body. We are to serve Him. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, the church isn't meeting this need and isn't meeting that need. You know why? Because the people are not stepping up into the roles, into their gifts that God has given them. There, He wants to bless us as a church. We would have more than enough abundance in all the ministries that we need if people would step up and seek the Lord, you know.
We can't just rely on the clergy to do it all.
Right,
they cannot
right.
do that.
It said we're supposed to be a body.
We're a body, yeah.
But if the majority of the people sitting in the church have all their chocolate sauce sitting at the bottom.
Right, right.
How do you
invoke the Holy Spirit?
How do you activate your charisms or discover your charisms to activate them to begin to use them?
I would say, you know, part of it is like this Eucharist class here that's coming up, you know, that we're going to do, or, you know, the different classes that we have. You know, we had Alpha, we have had other things. So learning how to pray personally,
yes.
And going to these classes, you're with other people that are seeking of like-mindedness. They want to hear God, and you hear their stories. And it's like, oh, I never thought about it. No, I never thought about praying about that, or I never mm-hmm. this. And they will start hearing. They will. I mean, God wants to talk to us, but we have to be one to listen. You know, another thing, there's, you know, we have to sometimes have to say, shut up and listen, you know. We can go and do all the talking at God, and then we get up and leave.
Well, but I've heard everybody here say that, you know, you talked about it, Anna, specifically about recognizing charisms of other people.
Yeah.
That somebody would come to you and you say, well, this person will be better suited to help you with that. And you're all kind of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So how, okay, I don't know what my charism is.
Mm-hmm. You can go on
radio
a couple
host.
Different, well, there's tests you can take. There's the St. Catherine of Siena Institute. They have wonderful charism tests. This Many Parts Ministry has wonderful charism tests. If you need someone to facilitate it for you, I can help with that. You know, I know exactly where to go and who can help people discern and take that test. But that's,
well, maybe if you can get me some URLs, I can put those up on our
yeah,
website.
Yeah, that's
too.
The first step, you know, if you don't know what your charism is to go and take one of these charism tests.
Can you have more than one charism?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
God
There's
is
24.
Overly generous.
And God. Most of us talk about the 22, really, because it's very unusual for somebody to speak in tongues and interpret tongues. So that's not really one that is
prevalent.
Prevalent. Let's just put that. Yeah. So
speaking
I could go through
in tongues,
them all.
Speaking in tongues is primarily a prayer language for the individual to communicate with God. We don't know how to pray, it says in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit prays in us in groans and utterings deeper than words. And that's what speaking in tongues is about. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the kind of thing that happened at Pentecost,
yeah,
when, you know, they heard all of these people, you know, speaking in their own languages, mm-hmm, you know, so that they were given the gift of being able to speak out in a language that they didn't know.
Right.
I know somebody that had that happen. One was in Russian and the other was in Chinese, and they knew neither of those languages, but the person came up afterwards and said, "You were speaking in perfect Chinese, you know. Did you take classes? Did you live there?" "No, I didn't. I didn't even know I was doing it."
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those things are there, and mm-hmm, it does happen. Mm-hmm.
But I would say the bottom line, you know, is that you have to first develop your relationship with the Lord in order for the charisms to come out, to be able to just get that stirred up, you know.
So you have to start by opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is kind of the forgotten person of the Trinity, you know.
Amen.
We know the Father, we know the Son, but you know, the Holy Spirit, I don't know about how to relate to a dove, you know.
It was like the power went out last night and I'm thinking, you can't do anything. That's what the Holy Spirit is. You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the power, sir. That's
the electricity.
And even in the creed, you say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life.
Yeah.
Not
just life once, but life continuously.
Yes.
He's always, you know, yes. I mean, again,
so there
talking
are
about an
very simply,
overabundant God.
If you want to invoke the Holy Spirit, it's a very simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I say that.
Yeah. Just say that. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. Come, Holy Spirit.
Now, when you're at Damascus, you pray that way with the kids at times. Just come, Holy Spirit.
Yes. We pretty much start every prayer with come, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
After the sign of the cross, of course. But just giving them that understanding of, okay, yes, it's something that we say, but actually it's something that we want to, like, we are saying that not just to say it, but we are saying that to invite Holy Spirit in.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say, come Holy Spirit, and we do prayer ministry with our kids, which is a time that we have Jesus in Eucharistic adoration, and they get to stand in front of Jesus, and the counselor will pray with each and every child in their small group, and they get to ask for prayers, but the counselor is always keeping one ear to heaven, one ear to the Father, and it's okay if you don't have the words, because when you're saying, come Holy Spirit, you're allowing Holy Spirit, mm-hmm, to actually come. And so, yeah, you have to be silent. Like, mm-hmm, Joan was saying, like, you have to shut up, because to say, come Holy Spirit, and to actually listen to Holy Spirit, you have to be willing to be open. And it's so funny, because I don't know if we want to go into this direction, but like, even personally in prayer ministry with campers, like, the Lord can speak to us in many ways. He can speak to us in hearing, in images, in feeling, in, yeah, like our senses. I mean, sometimes I just get wild images for kids, and it will be even like cotton candy. And I'm like, you know, so hesitant, like, mm-hmm, oh, Lord, like, is that what you're wanting me to say?
Yeah.
And then the camper's crying because they're like, pink is my favorite color, and yeah, I love cotton candy, and it's like, all these things, it's actually the Lord speaking to that child, like, I love you so much, and I know so much about you, and I just want this relationship with you, and, like, things that he reveals to you, mm-hmm, to then share with his children that, like, you would have never known.
So God literally gave you the words.
Yeah. Right. Yes, right. Yes, literally.
To reach out to this person.
Right. Yes.
Well, you know, the other thing, one, we were at the prayer meeting, and I was praying with somebody, and then I felt like the Lord saying to me to ask the person I was praying with, I want you to ask the Lord,
what do you think about
me? What do you think of me? And this person didn't know the Lord at all, and she heard the Lord, and she started bawling, and she said, I'm good enough. She heard the Lord tell her, you know, and he wants to talk to us.
Sure.
We have to be willing to listen.
Yeah. And after that experience, she had been baptized, but that was it, in the Catholic Church, had never gone to confession or First Communion or anything like that. After that experience of
hearing God,
she went to confession for the first time.
Yeah.
That was her first confession.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really in her 20s.
Yeah. You know.
You talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit in all of this. As a priest, you know, it's a unique opportunity that we have as priests to be part of that, you know, because I know hearing confessions for me, you know, sometimes it can be a little difficult, you know, like when you have these holy women, these nuns that come to you, you know, and they bombard you with the, it's like being, you know, stoned to death with marshmallows sometimes. that's the way you look at it. You never let them know that because they're there to grow in God's grace, you know, so you should never make that kind of something that you don't appreciate in its fullness. But you really do. I know I've had some wonderful experiences in the confessional. And people think, well, the priest is there as the authority of the church, and he isn't affected by the presence of the Spirit, but he is.
You know? Mm-hmm.
I have cried in the confessional with people,
mm-hmm.
and I have laughed with people in the confessional. I remember, and I'm not breaking any silences here or any promises, but I remember one time a man came in to go to confession, and he liked to talk, and I'm familiar with people who like to talk. So anyway, I was sitting there listening to his tale of woe, and I kept thinking he was near tears because his problem was so deep to him anyway. And I didn't know how. I knew in a few minutes he was going to stop and say, "Well, Father, that's it. Can you help me?" And I didn't know what I was going to say. You know, none of the books gave me the answer, you know. And so I just prayed to the Holy Spirit, "Give me the answer to this man's problem, please." Mm-hmm. He did. Nice. And I was just amazed because I just started talking, you know, which is normal for me. And I just started talking, and it didn't take very long. And he let out a sigh, just a sigh, like all his difficulties were off his back now. And he said, "Father, I've never thought about it that way."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, "Heck, I've never thought about it that way."
That's when you know it's the Holy Spirit, because you didn't come up with it. You didn't come up with
that's
it.
That's right. One of the things that Joan and I met several different priests that are involved in encounter ministries and involved in the charismatic renewal. And one of the things that they talk about is the words of knowledge or the words of wisdom that the Holy Spirit can give us.
Sure.
You know,
Anna
mentioned, you know, cotton candy, but that's just a word of knowledge that God knows about that particular person.
Right.
Or the word of wisdom that you just experienced.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's available to us.
Sure.
Because we're
and that's his way of letting him know that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. He's wanting to show you that,
I see you.
Yeah. And it's normal.
You.
That's the thing. Yes, it isn't anything
it is.
Really. We think it's extraordinary because, oh my gosh, because it wakes us up.
No,
but it's normal. It's what God wants
as
the normalcy of being a member of his family.
That's right. You know? Every Christian should be able to do it. I can run through them real quick if you want.
He wants a relationship.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have them all right here in alphabetical order, all 22.
Unfortunately, we've come down to the end of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
We could do a whole nother hour, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We're
all listed, again, on this website. I can give you the information.
Yeah, I'll post some links on the on our website.
And we'll have them back again, too, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we always say, before we go on the air, we always say, "Well, I hope we have enough material for tonight. I'm not so sure, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't even begin.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so much going. So that's great. And that, too, I hate to go on like this, but I know I don't. But it's so neat because that is a work of the Holy Spirit. We are experiencing right now the ease with which we are talking about Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a work of the Holy Spirit as well.
I didn't even touch on most of my questions. So but at least I had them in case I needed them.
Yeah, that's right.
All righty. Well, again, Jack and Joan, thanks for coming on the show first time.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to have to get a bell or something, Anna, for first-time people. Thanks for for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
Mandy? So we can, you know, you were talking about giving a link for what she was talking about. We can give you a link to the Encounter School. Then there's testimonies on there of healings and things like that.
Yeah, and we'll get links for to take
same
the test.
Same thing with Damascus.
And Damascus.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
So we'll awesome. Get that all going. And if you want to go to kcdmradio.org, and we'll have that posted on the website.
I just had a quick thought for Anna. If somebody didn't want to do a monthly or whatever, if they wanted to do a donation, maybe they could send it to the office, parish office in care, and your mom could get it to you?
Yes, that would be awesome. And yeah, just to clarify, I am grateful for anything. Right. So it doesn't have to be monthly. I am grateful for anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, everybody, the show tonight was very charismatic.
It was.
To say the least. Mandy, Anna, Jack, Joan. Thank you very much for joining us. Mandy, thanks for suggesting the topic. I think it was a really good one. You have clearly put a lot of thought into the discovery and application of your gifts and charisms to benefit the church. We all appreciate your contributions to the church. I'd also like to thank our listeners for sticking with us to the end of the show. Father Mike, would you like to give us a little closing prayer to get us out?
I will be happy to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us in a new and a wondrous way your Holy Spirit as we prepare for the great feast of Pentecost and all of the wonderful Eucharistic feasts that come after. Give us the grace to be grateful for the gifts and for the fruits that your Holy Spirit constantly imparts to us. Help us become aware of them and to use them the way you want us to build up the church. All of this we ask, thankfully, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Come, Amen. Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Absolutely.
Thank you, Father Mike. Please join us again on the radio or listen to us on the internet at kcdmradio.org. Until then, remember, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Take some time in prayer to reflect upon the gifts you have been given and ask God to help you to find a way to use those gifts to bring people to God. Have a blessed rest of your day. We'll talk to you again on the next episode of Father Mike at the Mic.